Hi, I'm Jane Phillips. I'm the Professor of Palliative Nursing at UTS.
Hi, I'm Mira Egger. I'm the Professor of Palliative Medicine at UTS.
Professors, you're both experts when it comes to the realm of palliative care. Why is it that we need a whole week to dedicate to this issue?
A week will never be long enough. It's really about good quality at the end of life and living well, and all of us will die at some point in time. And I guess what's happened over the years is that we've become a death-defying society and people feel quite uncomfortable about it. So this is an opportunity for the community, for health professionals, for families to really think about the implications, about the things that you want to do in your life to enjoy, but also how we can actually make it better for people as they're deteriorating and dying.
Let's talk about care planning and what that means. Professor Egger, what does that mean and how should we be approaching this in a way that's more supportive for families?
So care planning covers a range of issues. It's about planning for your health, but also planning for the way you want to live your life. So that might be around financial issues, where you want to live. And I think really the thing we're trying to highlight is that this is a conversation. It happens over a period of time and includes people's loved ones, and sometimes it's a difficult conversation, and so we're trying to bring this to the forefront and help people feel supported in having these conversations.
And that discussion about how they are going to approach the end of their lives obviously is something that does have an impact on the family. What kind of planning needs to happen even before dementia is really something that's an everyday issue in the lives of the family?
So I think really the critical thing is that the person with dementia needs to be involved in those discussions when they're able. And care planning is over the course of the whole illness. And yes, the end of life care period is important, but it shouldn't be separated or not integrated with the care planning across the whole illness. And it's about revisiting plans as things change and being comfortable to have those conversations.
Yeah, Professor Phillips, is that something that comes into your research to do with what type of medication is involved?
As a nurse, nurses are much more involved in the administration of medications, whereas doctors are the prescribers of medications. But we may have, as nurses, definitely have conversations with families and patients about their medications, but that's really a medical decision. I just really wanted to get back to the point Mira made in terms of planning, and really can't stress enough that it is actually really about starting to understand what your family's wishes are, even while you're actually well, because it does make it so much easier if it is a series of conversations.
What are the questions that people come to health professionals, to nurses with, when they are confronted with the situation that their loved ones do have dementia?
So I think they want to know what the future will bring, the changes that they might see, but I think really critically they want to support that person in the best way that they can and feel empowered to be able to do that and be able to navigate the healthcare options that they have. But not only the healthcare options, they want to know how to navigate financial institutions, how to seek legal advice, how to support someone doing their own shopping in a supported way, be able to travel on a plane. No, these are all things that we take for granted and do on a day-to-day basis without any difficulty. But to allow the person with dementia to still enjoy all of those things in a smooth and non-distressed fashion takes a lot of information and support and empowerment.
What types of medication actually exist in this realm? How can we ease people's suffering?
So it will be very individual. The symptoms that are experienced in advanced dementia are very varied and very individual. And I think the real critical thing is that dementia is a unique illness, and we need health professionals, nurses, doctors, allied health staff who actually understand dementia, its trajectory and the biological basis for what the person is experiencing, and use medications wisely. But also a whole range of non-medication measures are actually very critical and probably actually have better evidence in supporting people to experience the least amount of distress and symptoms.
So what are those processes, Professor Phillips?
Well, sometimes it's actually really the way teaching not only doctors and nurses, but also families, how to interact with the person with dementia and really how to respond and change their approaches as the person is actually deteriorating and their condition is changing. So as Mira said, you know, a lot of it is really around non-pharmacological approaches. It's the way in which you speak to them, you know, touch them. But it's actually also really about playing to people's strengths, because there will be parts of their brain that will be really functioning reasonably well. And we actually really need to enable people to really be able to optimise those activities.
And one of the things I think you're hoping to address next week in the panel is the idea of involving that patient in their own decision-making process. So what are the things we need to think about in ensuring that the patient isn't being left out of their own life decisions?
One of the areas we're going to raise, and it's a very rapidly evolving area, is the idea of supported decision-making, that this is not a black and white area, that you have decision-making capacity on one day and then suddenly the next day you don't. People's ability to be involved in decisions often is more related to the way the people involved in those decisions approach that person, present the information in a way that they can understand and value their contribution. And so there's a lot of research looking at understanding how to do that better and training clinicians, legal professionals, and the broader community in actually a broader engagement.
Professor Phillips, anything to add?
No, I'll just probably go back to the other point. If you've had these conversations over a longer period of time, I guess if you're the family member having to make some hard decisions as the person's deteriorated, you're often much more, you feel more comfortable because you're actually able to base your decisions on the wishes of the person.
Are you both optimistic about the direction that this type of conversation is having? Are we making progress?
Well, by virtue of being here and speaking about it, I think that's a great thing. I think for too long, many people who have probably been living with dementia and or caring for someone with dementia have probably felt quite isolated. But, you know, it affects so many people in our community, and we're still trying to understand this very complex condition, that the more we can talk about it, the more we can support people, and the more we can engage them, and as I said earlier, playing to their strengths, then the better it will be for the person with dementia and their family.
And the forum is really aimed at bringing all of those people and people with dementia and their families to the same table with equal voice to actually say, we're making great progress, but let's challenge everyone to really exponentially increase that progress so that it can impact on everyone who's living with dementia as quickly as possible.
And it has implications for the way we train our health professionals, because for many of us, you know, dementia wasn't such a huge issue. So we need to be preparing our undergraduate nurses and doctors and allied health professionals to really have a sound understanding of dementia and the needs of this community. So many people don't realise dementia is a terminal disease. You know, if you say cancer, most people, even though, you know, cancer's got better outcomes, you know, so many of the cancers are now about living with a chronic disease. Most people, when you hear cancer, think that it's associated with death. But when we say dementia, people don't actually make the link that it's actually a terminal illness.
And that's also why I suppose it's tied to palliative care, right? End-of-life care, because it is something that will affect people towards the end of their
really,
life.
Yeah, well, we need to think about a palliative approach for all of these people, because ultimately they're going to die with dementia, if not of dementia.